Well, the starting point for anything that is identified as an issue is awareness. That is the starting point. There would be no awareness of an issue if it were not for awareness. So do you see how the two go together, awareness and whatever point of view appears? And there is no way whatsoever to separate awareness and points of view. They're an expanse of equalness and evenness. They're entirely unwrinkled. So it's not awareness with a lot of wrinkles of points of view. It's just awareness that is pristine and clear and has never been obstructed in any way. And the importance of resting as awareness for short moments, repeated many times until it becomes automatic, is that by taking short moments of awareness, it's guaranteed that awareness will be uncontrived. So in the Great Freedom Teaching, there is one practice only, and that is short moments repeated many times. And in short moments means that just a brief moment now and then, maybe initially it might be 2 moments a day, remembering to take a short moment to just leave everything in its natural state, to leave everything resting in its natural state, including you. And then the next day it might be a few moments or only 1 moment. But gradually, by short moments, more and more moments will be noticeable. And this guarantees that you're not trying to contrive or force some kind of recognition of awareness. It also guarantees that you're totally grounded in yourself and you're not slipping off into some kind of abstraction like timelessness or emptiness or spontaneity or recognition or whatever it might be. If you have a practice, if anyone has a practice that is deeply rooted in everything about the way they experience their being. In other words, we all experience our being mentally and physically. So when we say to rest as awareness for short moments, we know that that applies to us. We know that that applies to how we think about ourselves as a physical and mental being, a psychological being, that is what is resting. We're resting all of that in and as awareness. We're allowing that to just rest in the basic state or basic space of everything. And by taking these short moments, less and less then we identify ourselves only with that identity of being a physical, mental, psychological being. And we come to see that we're not just that. We're not just a physical, psychological, and mental being. Rather, we are an appearance of that impeccable basic space. We're an appearance of an impeccable, pristine, basic state. And what we've taken to be our mental, our physical, our psychological being is simply an appearance of that basic space. It isn't anything that has ever been made into anything. We're not tied up or fixed only in that identity that we've given ourselves. Our identity is much more far-reaching than that. It's expansive and unalterable and indestructible. And most of us have seen ourselves as alterable and closed in and destructible, right? If we believe in our mental states and emotional states and physical states, that's all based on feeling destructible. It's all based on feeling like we can be altered. And it's always based on feeling exceedingly vulnerable and ill at ease. And so when we rest for just a short moment, We undo that entire belief system. We shatter that entire belief system we've had about ourselves, that entire identification we've had about ourselves in just that single short moment. So this is the importance of short moments of awareness. Resting as awareness for short moments. Now, it isn't just short moments, but short moments many times. And many times means that we repeat it again and again. We don't just take one short moment and then forget about it. But by returning to awareness for short moments again and again, it becomes more and more automatic. It's just like learning to tie our shoes or brush our teeth or ride a bicycle. All of these things, through repetition, we learned how to do them. With repeating identification with awareness rather than identification with all our points of view, we become expert at just simply abiding as we are, in the same way that we learn to brush our teeth or ride a bicycle or tie our shoes. We're reminding ourselves of who we really are. That's it. That's all we're doing. We're not getting into some kind of state that exists somewhere off in the future. We're just allowing ourselves to be as we actually are right now, rather than getting fried by points of view, by all of our ideas about what different things are, and by all of our needing to somehow change things in order to feel better. And so this is very important. Do we have some farm work going on next door? And so awareness is repeated for many short moments. And in this way, it becomes automatic. And the same principle, again, as tying our shoes or learning to brush our teeth or ride a bicycle. By repetition, these activities become automatic and habitual. We don't even think about it. Once we learn to ride a bicycle, we don't have to constantly remember how to ride the bicycle. Oh, am I going to push the pedal? What do I do now? Do I turn left? Do I turn? We just know. We get on the bike and we ride it. Whereas in the beginning, we might not be able to sit up. We might need some training wheels. And even with tying our shoes or brushing our teeth, we all had to learn how to do that. No one just picked up a toothbrush and brushed away knowing exactly how to do it. And tying shoes the same way, riding a bike. Not many people get on that bike and ride off the first time. That's very, very rare. Same with awareness, so you see. By short moments, many times, what we guarantee ourselves is that we enter into uncontrived naturalness. And that uncontrived naturalness of awareness is synonymous with wisdom, true wisdom. And true wisdom is a power. It's a power that is innate in every single human being, and it's a power that is innate to everything that appears, no matter how great it is or how small. And that wisdom expresses itself in us as our body, our speech, our mind, our qualities and activities. So wisdom isn't a thing, just like awareness isn't a thing. Wisdom is a natural expression of gaining confidence and awareness. That's what it is. And as we gain confidence and awareness, just very naturally and spontaneously, our mental states, our emotional states, our physical states, and the qualities and activities of our life become infused with wisdom. And so the way we used to think about things isn't the way we think about things anymore. And the way we relate to our emotional states is not the way we related to our emotional states before. The qualities and activities of our life are not the qualities and activities that we had prior to gaining confidence and awareness. And we don't have to do anything to make this come about. It's naturally occurring. All short moments many times, that's it. That's the single practice. We don't have to try to get anything. Short moments many times will give us everything. It's the wish fulfilling jam. It'll give us everything we want. So if we want to know how to act powerfully in the world, how do we learn how to act powerfully in the world? Short moments many times. That's the only way. Without that, we'll just be flying around without any wisdom. That's all. And, you know, we won't be able to help ourselves from having emotional reactions and having all kinds of wild and crazy thoughts that'll lead us off in who knows how many directions. But if we just give ourselves some time to get grounded in wisdom, in the wisdom of awareness, and grounded in that confidence that is unshakable and unmovable, then we're okay. We're going to be okay. We're not going to have to wonder what to do, because we'll always know what to do. And it doesn't mean that we're going to just walk around with a big smile on our face, acting like some kind of Pollyanna or Sweetie Pie. It doesn't mean that either, because wisdom can be very wrathful. But you see, there's a big difference between the wrathfulness, the wrathful compassion of awareness, and blowing your top. You know what blowing your top means? In America, that means you get angry and out of control and just flip out and say anything you want to say, and it really has no purpose. You hurt yourself and you hurt other people. And so you see, that's how you know it isn't wisdom. You hurt yourself and you hurt other people. Then you know that isn't wisdom. And whereas with wrathful compassion is always motivated by love and wisdom. Always motivated by love and wisdom. And the recipient, if they're lucky, will recognize that it's motivated by love and wisdom. But most of the people around you will be very clear that whatever is appearing as your wrathfulness will be motivated by love and wisdom, even if some people don't. Now, when we ground ourselves in the wisdom of awareness, we have an incredible power to see all kinds of things we couldn't see before. So think of it this way. You can see in all directions at once. You can see everything that's occurring, whether it's within your physical space or not. And so you can see not only everything that's occurring, but also how it's going to pan out. Awareness is timeless. So not only can you see what's occurring now, but you can also see how certain things will lead to other things if they continue to go that way. And from that perspective, then, you're much more powerful. Not only that, but from the wisdom of awareness, you're no longer bound within conventional constructs. So say you're an environmentalist or a doctor, an engineer, or a bread baker, whatever you happen to be. You'll have an entirely different perspective than that of an ordinary person going about those tasks, no matter how brilliant that ordinary person might be. And from the perspective of wisdom awareness, you will have a power that just simply isn't present if there is no confidence in awareness. If you have burning issues that are really important to you, then you want to act from wisdom. You want to act from this wisdom that is due to confidence and awareness. You don't want to be acting based upon your points of view. That doesn't lead to much. And so, you know, we can see that even though it seems like we've made some headway in terms of the environmental movement, we have recycling today in many parts of the world, and we've done some things to try to take care of the damage we've done to the ozone layer, and that sort of thing. But you see, we would have had to have started all of these things in the 1960s in order to stop the damage. Now there's no way to stop it. And so what do we have? We have global warming. So you see, we can't quite see how to stop global warming yet, but a person from the perspective of awareness who was passionately interested in that topic would be able to see how to stop it. And that's, it's just as simple as that. Because once there is no cage of conventional intellectual speculation about how to solve problems, then it opens up all kinds of new ways of looking at problems, no matter what they might be. And the Great Freedom Teaching is an example of that. Now see, just in terms of my own experience, this is obviously a topic that has been of passionate interest to me for a long time, almost 30 years, where I have absolutely known that the current ways of us communicating with each other about the nature of who we really are don't work. These methods and practices do not work. And the evidence of them not working is in people everywhere. Even though people engage in many methods and many practices, for virtually all of those people, they don't work. They, in terms of reaching what the final goal of doing the method or practice is. And so you see, we as consumers, we wouldn't put up with that in any other area of our life. If we kept dishing our money out and never getting what we wanted, we'd never put up with it. It's just like if we went to buy an iPod and we kept giving the Apple Store our money and they never gave us an iPod, well, we'd probably only do that once. we wouldn't be going back again. But yet when it comes to uncovering our innate wisdom, there are many of us who would spend 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, even all of our lives, continuing to perform methods and practices that don't work. Well, this is no different than giving, because we're giving our energy, that's all money is. So, you know, we give our energy, money energy, to the Apple Store and we buy our iPod, or we give our energy, our hopefulness for some kind of way to recognize our innate wisdom. We give it over and over and over again, this hope we have that that can occur for us and nothing ever happens. But you see, by the power of short moments of awareness, we become very clear that we already are abiding in our natural state. We already are abiding in our natural state. There's no one that can take any that away from us, and no one who can give it to us either. And so we have to be able to strip ourselves of all arrogance and pride of the belief that we have to do it some other way, that it has to be complicated, or it has to have special feeling states or sensations, or it has to be some kind of a mysterious abstraction that we can't possibly relate to right now. You see, these are all part of points of view of being arrogant and prideful. What we need to do is just get in our bodies, directly in our bodies as we actually are, and recognize what those bodies are made of. That's what we need to do. And so you see, there's tremendous power in the practice of short moments many times, because it's not grounded in some kind of la-la land, airy-fairy state of getting into some kind of abstraction about who we are. It's right there. And so you see, that puts the responsibility where? It puts the responsibility in each chair. That's where it puts the responsibility. It puts the responsibility in every one of us. And this right here, nothing else. You see, as long as we're seeking, we're trying to get out of here. We're trying to get out of here in some way. But once we say, okay, short moments repeated many times, I'm going to commit 100% to that. This is all we've got. This is all we've got. If we try to eschew this, which means to set it aside or get rid of it, we're screwed. Oh, I'm really getting going now. But we are. We're really screwed because we've spent our whole life trying to change this. We want to change it some way. We want to change what it's thinking. We want to change its emotional states. And we want to change its sensations. That's what we want to do. And that's not going to get us anywhere. So as long as we're using any means to try to change our thoughts, emotions, or physical sensations without first allowing them to be as they are, we'll have no wisdom. So the starting point has to be short moments in the direct encounter with every thought, emotion, and sensation that appears. That's the starting point, and it's right here. It's not anywhere else. When we gradually start to see that we don't have to change what we're thinking or experiencing in any other way, then we see that everything is an appearance of wisdom. We see that all these things are an appearance of wisdom. That can't be seen if we try to change them. Or if we have some kind of hair trigger response where we act on impulse to what we're thinking or feeling. So we just need to come to terms with ourselves as we are. Everything that we are, everything that we've named ourselves to be, we have to come to terms with that. And only in this way can we see that there is nothing independent from awareness. There's nothing independent from the basic state in which everything rests. There's not a single thing that has ever existed independently or apart from that basic state. It's absolutely impossible. And where do we realize that? Right here. You know, we don't realize it by trying to act like somebody else. We're all we've got in this matter. And it requires that we just allow everything to be as it is. When we've spent a lifetime of indulging our points of view or avoiding our points of view or replacing our points of view with other points of view, then we get into a pattern with that, where we're always indulging, avoiding, or replacing points of view. And it many of these patterns, so to speak, have a momentum of their own. We're just taken over by them, and we really don't even know how it's happening. Well, the only way to interrupt those patterns is short moments many times. That's it. By doing so, you can see that these patterns have no basis. Just like you can't plant a tree in the sky because there's nothing to support it. There's nothing to support a pattern. But you can only come to know that by gaining confidence and awareness. Now, this might go against everything you've learned, certainly, but but everything that most of us have learned, we believe we are our patterns, and we believe that a pattern is a fixed thing, and it's like a demon that can take us over. But it's not. All those kinds of ideas are just absurdities. They're absurd conclusions we've come to through an entirely fallacious process of logic. And so you see, a pattern has no support. It has no support whatsoever. A pattern is an appearance of the basic state, of the basic space of awareness. And just like a tree can't grow in the sky because it has nothing to support it there, so too there's no place that a pattern can grow, fester, and be something that takes you over. If you believe that it can, then it will. So, you know, when you're gaining confidence and awareness, this is true for me, all of you, anyone else who has ever gained confidence and awareness, you're going to have to take responsibility for your own points of view and your own patterns, whatever they are. And get real. Get totally real with yourself. Who else is going to get real with you? Well, I might, or, you know, maybe some of the other great freedom teachers, but everyone always invites me to point out their points of view and let them know, you know, where they're stuck, but most people don't really like to hear it when I point it out, even with an invitation, or some very direct instruction for me. It's some of these things, they feel kind of good, you know, they feel a little titillating in some way. So for a while there may be a need to go back to some of the curative fantasies that we've had in mind. But, you know, that won't last for long if you are committed to awareness. It won't last for long. We all have these things that we've been wrapped up in, whether they're our jealousies or our desires or our different angry states or our pride and arrogance and or our non-recognition of awareness or whatever it might be. We all have these. So, you know, what do we need to do? Short moments many times, that's it. That's the only way to cut through these patterns. It's absolutely the only way. Just think of all the other means you've used to try to cut through your different patterns of points of view. And even if you've been able to neutralize them in some way, say for example you're angry or particularly desirous. I talk about anger a lot, so I'll talk about desire instead. Say you have the point of view of romantic or sexual desire, and so, you know, you see someone, you see that special one, whoever it is, or maybe it's not even one, you know, it's maybe it's 100 or 1,000, I don't know. Whatever it is for you, but you see something that looks good and boing, boing, you know, you get going. And you start having all kinds of little sensations in your body. And from the way this pattern is developed in you, boing, boing, these sensations, they feel good. You like the way these sensations feel compared to other sensations like a bad headache or or a sore knee or something like that. So you decide that the boing boing feelings are a lot better than the other kinds of sensations you have. So you decide, and this all happens unconsciously, that you're going to set up more of these situations where you have boing boing feelings, and then you'll just have more boing boing going. And well, when we talk about it this way, it's totally absurd. You know, it's insane. And this is why belief and point of view is the biggest addiction that human beings have. It's really the biggest addiction there is. And so, you know, once you see that special someone or the someones you're attracted to, your sole mission in life is to have them attracted to you. And so now not only do you have the initial desirous kind of point of view, but it's gone full-blown into the seduction point of view. And the sole purpose of the seduction point of view is to make that person see you the way that you want them to see you. Not like you really are,
But part of the seduction point of view is you look at that person and you say, aha, this is what he likes, or this is what she likes, so I am going to mold all my behavior to be a perfect fit with them. And then they're going to really like me, and I'll really get the boing boing going then. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, you know, when we look at it clearly, and believe me, I see it clearly. So, whether it's in someone else or myself, it just is not worth it. It really is not worth it. And certainly for almost all the people here today, you have enough experience gaining confidence and awareness that you do not want to go this route. You know, this is something you want to confront head on with the power of awareness. This is where wrathful compassion comes into play with yourself, whether it's sexual desire or another point of view. First of all, anything you want out of sexual desire or some kind of romantic fantasy, which is intimacy or a connection with another human being, it's going to come from gaining confidence and awareness. This is where you're going to find the partner you're really looking for, from confidence and awareness and from the vantage of that incredible perspective. You're not going to find it in the same old routines of identification of a target and then seduction of that target by pretending you're somebody you're not. And so, right? So this is what we call the path of no bullshit. You know, you really have to get real with yourself and what you've been up to. But when you do, it can be enjoyable. It can really be enjoyable. Now, when there are a lot of people gaining confidence and awareness, then we can not only see what's going on in us, we can see what's going on in everybody else too. This is what I mean about being able to see everything in all directions. And so you see that intimacy that we've been looking for with one special person or 100 or 1,000, whatever our bent is, we start to see that we have that intimacy with everyone. And that intimacy is in awareness. It's in the wisdom of awareness. It's not in a seduction game or coupling up with one special partner. Yeah, so this is really important, because this is a place where many of us get sidetracked. We go off into, we want to find someone who will be the perfect hostage for our points of view. And this is what the whole seduction game is based on. We want someone who's going to agree with our points of view. And we look for someone who has the same points of view that we have. Now we all know that all those feelings that are so exalted when we first meet someone, that they go away. For most of us, they go away. So then the whole relationship becomes a struggle to get those same feelings back that we had initially. No, that's no basis for a relationship. And so then we're trying to figure out, how can we get those incredible feelings we had initially, those feelings that said, oh, the world is a perfect place to be, how can we get those back? And so we enter into couples counseling, and we're having children and buying houses and getting better jobs, all of these things trying to recreate the feelings we had initially, but it never happens. However, by gaining confidence and awareness, then all those states, those feelings of love and incredible energy that we experience when we fall in love. By gaining confidence and awareness, we have those all the time. That's just our natural state. That's the way we are. So when that's our natural state, we don't have to try to get it from somebody else. If it's our natural state, we can just leave everybody alone and let them be as they are. Give them their peace. Why rope them into your weird scheme, you know? That's not compassion. So better to gain confidence and awareness rather than than go off on these little escapades. Right? What we're looking for example, if we ever went to school, is there anyone here who never went to school? Okay, well, you know, when we go to school, we want to learn what's going to help us in life. That's what school is. We go to school to learn what's going to help us in life. And no matter how much school we have, whether we have a little school or a lot of school, then we're hoping all along that that's something that's going to help us in life and possibly help other people too. However, we could learn all of those kinds of school type things forever and it still wouldn't give us what we really need to help ourselves and to help other people. Where we're going to get that is through confidence and awareness. Now, by building confidence and awareness and then learning other things as well, we know how to apply those things in life. By gaining confidence and awareness, first of all, we benefit ourselves. We benefit ourselves very directly. We find something about ourselves that is solid, that is absolutely solid and unshakable. And it's something we can't learn in any school. It can only be learned right here. And then by seeing how much it benefits us, by seeing how much it benefits us, we automatically see how much that will benefit other people. So you see, then we see what's really important in life, not only for us, but for other people. We come to a deep understanding of us by seeing how all of our points of view work. And by deeply understanding how our points of view work, and deeply understanding that these points of view are appearances of wisdom and not something we need to change or shake up a little bit, then we see that that's so for everybody else too. So we come into a deep and abiding understanding of ourselves and everyone else. This is called compassion. When we come to a deep understanding of what makes us tick, that is called self-compassion. Only when we have that self-compassion can we have natural compassion for others. Once we really see how we tick, we have compassion for ourselves, and then we automatically have compassion for everyone else. There's no way to cultivate compassion by trying to be nice to other people. That isn't true compassion. True compassion comes from confidence and awareness. When we have confidence and awareness, you see, we're not hurting ourselves anymore. When we're not hurting ourselves anymore, we don't hurt other people anymore. We don't put other people in the position of being hurt by our actions. But this all comes from confidence and awareness. It doesn't come from anywhere else. So you see, many of us, we've spent our whole lives trying to be nice to other people, trying to be nice to ourselves, maybe. And it probably never led anywhere. But by gaining confidence and awareness, we see that all these things we've been trying to get, compassion and wisdom, that they're already present. They're already present in our own awareness. The same awareness that has seen every single thing we've seen in life from the very beginning of our life is the place of that wisdom. So when we naturally allow everything to rest in that awareness, we allow everything to rest in that basic state repeatedly, then we have more and more wisdom. We have more and more compassion. It naturally comes about.
without any effort. Wisdom and compassion aren't something we can accumulate or learn. It's not something we can go to school and study and learn how to be wise and compassionate. We simply have to allow everything to be as it is. That's the only way to learn wisdom, so to speak. That's the only way to learn compassion. Compassion and wisdom are spontaneously occurring. They can't be brought about by any means. In short moments, many times, we simply recognize that they can't be brought about in it by any means. We recognize that they're already naturally present. They're already naturally present. And we start to see from the very first short moments that they have a power. These short moments have an incredible power. And how do we prove that to ourselves? We see that emotions and thoughts that used to really trouble us don't any longer. We can just allow these thoughts and emotions to be as they are, rather than feeling we need to do something about them. So from the beginning, we see that awareness is powerful, and we see that it is very beneficial. And that power and that benefit, that's what wisdom and compassion are. They are that feeling of being empowered. We're empowered with our basic state. That's what we're empowered with. By recognizing and identifying with that basic state, we come to feel more and more of its power. We experience its power in our life. We come into complete cooperation with ourselves. We haven't been cooperating with ourselves before we start to gain confidence and awareness. We really haven't. We've been very uncooperative by constantly trying to change all of our states, our thoughts, emotions, and sensations. We try to change our experiences, the people, places, and things in our life. And so this is not being cooperative, it's being uncooperative. So we have to begin to see that everything abides in a natural state of complete cooperation. Everything abides completely cooperatively. The only way we can see that is right there, right there, right there. No matter what it is, no matter what is appearing in you, it's exactly as it's meant to be. And it rests perfectly and beautifully in the natural state. It doesn't need to be changed. Allow it to be as it is, and you'll open up into more and more wisdom. A pain-free zone. Even if you have pain, you're in a pain-free zone. So this is what you come to see. You really come to see that what you are, in the truest sense of the word, is indestructible. It's not altered in any way by birth, life, or death. It's not altered in any way by perceptions of waking, dreaming, and sleeping, and all the states that are therein. This is what you really want for yourself. Take it from me. Anything else that you think the world and its cages of philosophy have to offer is nowheresville. that means it's nowhere you want to go. It isn't anywhere you want to go. First build confidence and awareness, then see what else it is you want to be involved in. That's real wisdom. It's nice to see all your shining faces. I can spot a great freedom person anywhere, just by their skin.
It's the ultimate beauty product. It really is. All the stuff you put on your skin. Awareness is the ultimate beauty product. It's awareness. We're meant to glow. We're meant to glow. You know those little bugs in the summer, fireflies? They're glow bugs. They just glow from within. That's how we are when we just allow ourselves to be in our natural state. We light up.